Hi, this is Anthony, and on today's episode, Dave and I discuss Eternals, Marvel's latest MCU installment. I think this is movie number 2 officially of Phase 4. I think Black Widow really doesn't count because it was in between Civil War and Infinity War. And then we had Shang-Chi, and then now Eternals. Pretty divisive movie for the MCU. It wasn't quite the hit that I was expecting. You guys will have to give it a listen. The more that I've thought about it after seeing the movie, I might have scored this higher than I thought. I guess I'll have to watch it for a second time to kind of gauge my metrics on the percentage that I gave it, but yeah, enjoy the episode. Me and Dave get into it, so enjoy.
Welcome back to the Drive-In with Dave and Anthony.
Episode 69, Eternals.
This is, I guess, the start of phase...
Well, was Shang-Chi start of Phase 4, technically?
Oh, I think, yeah.
I think so.
So second movie
in Phase 4.
Phase 4.
Kind of really, outside of the Avengers movie, the second ensemble movie, because you have the Guardians of the Galaxy, Avengers, now we have the Eternals.
Which, there's 10 of them. I saw that they originally had 12.
Jesus.
And they had to cut
two. Is there 12 in the comics, I wonder?
Probably, but...
The way it sounds, and you just told me before we started recording that you kind of had an intro of, like, who they are. I have zero background on where they come from outside of the trailer. Like, I know that they've been around for thousands of years. They were told by the Celestials to not interfere with any of, like, humanity, and that's kind of all I know about them.
So they, from what I read, the Eternals and Deviants... Deviants were mutated first by the Celestials.
Okay.
And then Eternals were mutated second to have superior powers.
I see.
But it's just, it says like all the Deviants look different in appearance. Says no two are alike in abilities. But well, goes with you saying like Thanos being...
Thanos is a Deviant, but I think... Angelina Jolie's character in this movie and Thanos are like first cousins or something. Because I know Thanos's family looks like kind of regular people, and then he had like the, you know, the ball sack chin and all of that stuff. So I don't know. Well, like I don't know. They might explain that in this movie. Well, I kind of hope
they
do.
And I think there's something with like the main Deviant and Angelina Jolie's character.
Because we saw that in the trailer. I hope the movie sways my opinion different, but I thought they looked kind of shitty. Like, it's just like cheesy CGI, in my opinion. What do you think?
I guess I didn't...
Because there's that one scene of he's like holding her up and saying like, they can't save you or you can't save them.
I guess it just
went
by so quick, I never got a really.
Then you
have
like the animal versions of the Deviants.
Yeah, you have the winged one flying and like the dog thing. But I guess what we know of the story is... They've been around, can't
interfere. For thousands of years, they couldn't interfere. Then Thanos...
After his multiple snaps...
And then everybody came back and triggered some energy thing...
That caused the Deviants to...
Come back,
come locate her.
Because there's that scene where Kit Harington's character, he plays...
Black Knight or something?
Something like that, where he has like a cool sword.
Yeah.
Like, why didn't you guys help against Thanos? And then, like, there's some exposition of, like, we were told not to. And he's like, well, by who? And it's the Celestials.
Yeah, so.
Which is interesting because we haven't seen the Celestials outside of Guardians, right? Because Planet Nowhere.
Nowhere's a celestial head.
And then there's that scene where you get, like, the Power Stone being used with the staff by a Celestial, I think.
Huh. I don't remember that.
Those are the only two. Is, I'm going to go way too far on a limb here, but is Galactus a Celestial? There's going to be nerds if they ever listen to this where you're like, no, you dumbass Anthony, like, he's not.
I don't know, like, the Watcher is, right?
Is he? But he's too small to be. I thought the Celestials were, like, gigantic kind of like robot looking things that are like as big as a planet.
That's what it looked like in the trailer.
So what would be cool, right, because we're getting Fantastic Four back to the MCU, is if the Eternals have interactions with the Celestials and it like looks cool on screens, and like, okay, Galactus could be like the phase 5 bad or phase 6 bad or whatever. Yeah. So like you could kind of build on that.
But as far as that goes, I mean, well, we know they're separated. We know that they have to get everybody together. Back. So I'm kind of wondering how much of this movie is going to
be them. That's what
going
I'm
going and gathering.
Because it doesn't seem like there's a main bad guy. Because I don't know
unless it's that guy with Athena holding her up. But
which that would honestly that would suck.
You think?
I think so. Because like Guardians 1, you know, it was cool because it was what's his name?
Ronan the Accuser.
Ronan the Accuser. So it's like you need a singular antagonist, in my opinion. So I don't know, and it's being directed by she won the Academy last
year. Chloe Zhan.
Yeah, for Nomadland, which that movie is incredible. So I'm wondering, like, how much are we gonna see her imprint on this movie versus like we're gonna keep the Marvel
Studio formula.
Exactly. Like you get like the movie, then you get the background, then you get like the heroes, like some sort of they lose and then they come back at the end.
Then you get the big just CGI battle with all the deviants, and then they banish them, and then you find out Kang was the one who sent them.
That'd be sick as fuck. That would be actually like the post credit scene if it has something to do with Kang the Conqueror. Like
they just do the exact same one when Thanos was introduced. He just turns around in his chair.
That'd be awesome. I would love that. I'm curious because the trailer, all of the Eternals characters look sick. Like Richard Madden's character, is it Icarus? Icarus. Like he looks sick. Like all of their powers look pretty cool. So I'm curious to see how it goes. Like I'd like to see more of a risk being taken kind of with the MCU movies. Even if it like faults it being, you know, the Marvel formula, something we're used to. We want to see new things on screen.
We do, and I was just thinking, I mean, hopefully that is the case, and it's not like Thor the Dark World, where the movie's just made to set up future movies.
Correct.
You know? Like, will this be a good standalone on its own?
See, that's what, like, just Black Panther does well, or like Shang-Chi, or like even Thor Ragnarok, or, you know, Guardians 1, like, if you haven't watched any of the MCU movies, like, you would still really enjoy the movie. So, like, we don't need a movie like Iron Man 2, which I'd still love, don't get me wrong, but, like, you have to have watched the first one, and it, like, sets up so much for the future of, you know, MCU. So it's, like we just, you need something that just kind of has bits and pieces of the bigger universe as a whole, but still, you know, is its own movie still.
How much of this, is it all going to take place on Earth, or are we going to start getting cosmic?
I would like it to be more cosmic, but it seems like from the trailer, it seems like we're going to start from, like, the Neanderthals to, like, current times, you know?
But I feel like this next phase of Marvel is moving towards more of the cosmic side of things, so maybe that'll set it up and open
Yeah, I mean, especially Shang-Chi, like, they like went into that portal of like that other Earth dimension realm. And that was like the big fight.
And then dimension.
The next movie, Spider-Man, is the multiverse. Like, fuck. Like, so like they're getting, you know. Also, did you see the new Morbius trailer? It was awesome. I thought it was
sick.
I thought he looked great. I liked the Venom part at the end. His powers looked pretty cool. I think it's going to be all right. But again,
he had a Spider-Man reference. Didn't he go on Venom? No, just kidding. I'm your friendly neighborhood, Dr. Morbius.
He's like, who are you? And he's like, I'm Venom. And he, like, shifts his face to, like, the Dracula face or, you know, whatever. Yeah. And he's like, no, I'm just kidding. I'm your neighborhood doctor, Michael Morbius or whatever.
I don't know how I feel.
Well, then you have Vulture was in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was the Daily Bugle article with Rhino and Black Cat were mentioning. And I like looked at some Easter egg stuff. So
I
like,
didn't see that.
There's like three universes kind of being tied into it.
Yeah,
so let's see.
That's crazy.
But yeah, for this movie, I'm pumped to see it. Again, we always talk about the comic book movies where we don't really know shit about the characters, and we're always usually pleasantly surprised and like enjoy
it. But I guess I'm kind of at the point now with these again. I'm nervous with there being 10 characters, how much the backstory. Like, I just kind of want to get into it. I don't.
Do we need to know about each character? Do we care? Because, like, Guardians, like, you know, like, there's only a few.
Yeah.
The Avengers, yeah, there's a shit ton, but we've had 20 movies to build up to these characters. Yeah. So it's like, I don't know how we would get through 10, but. Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see how it goes. I don't know how long this one is. I'm assuming two hours. Like they've all been kind of on the shorter side recently. They're kind of, at least to start this next phase, getting away from that.
You would think this movie with 10 Eternals, you would make it longer.
And just again,
make it three hours.
It depends if they jump right into it or...
Yeah, that's true.
If we got to go into everybody's backstory. But
Yeah,
I guess we'll see. See here shortly.
Yep, we'll catch you in part two.
Later. Welcome back to the Drive-In with Dave and Anthony, episode 69, part two.
Part two. Just got out of the theater, Eternals. Guess kind of the first question always, what were your thoughts?
I think I said it as soon as we walked out. I kind of just am indifferent to it. It wasn't terrible. Wasn't the worst MCU movie, wasn't the best. I don't know. I guess it's one of those where you don't know what to expect, and then I guess expectations were maybe a little bit let down, but at the same time, I don't know really what I was looking for that I didn't get out of that. So it's, I don't know. It's
kind of a weird feeling. Like, I look at it like, it was a good enough movie, but there just was one thing that just didn't quite satisfy you. Like it just,
you wanted another sex scene in there?
The first sex scene in the MCU,
what was up
isn't
with that,
it?
Man, that was.
I came out of nowhere a little bit.
The makeout scene they had prior to that, I was like, okay, this is going on a little long. And then they're naked on the beach.
On the sand, she's got sand in her booty cheeks.
Like that was.
I mean, I didn't mind it.
It just didn't. I get it. You guys love each other. We don't need a damn sex scene. It was just bizarre to me. But
there's a few times in the movie where I'm like, okay, like we I get it. We don't need to spend another 5 minutes on this scene or this emotion. Like some of it was just like a little exhausting. Just like, okay, like let's fucking pick up the pace a little bit.
So they start us. We'll just jump into it. Spoilers. They start us with the beginning crawl that explains,
like, who they are, right? Like, who the...
Celestials, and then there's the Celestial Prime.
Yep.
And then Eternals were placed on Earth to battle these Deviants. And I was kind of like, oh, that's pretty lame. But then they dove more into it and explained actually what... You know, Deviants and Eternals, where they really didn't explain it there at the beginning, but we get that.
Just like, yeah, there's these bad, like, race of monsters. Yeah, we created the Eternals to fight them.
So we get well, they don't even say they created them, I don't think, at the beginning, but we get the fight scene. It's 1000 BC or something like that, and there's people fishing, and...
Yeah, that part was kind of crazy, where they're like, have the scouts on the cliffs, and then the dad's like, run, and then he just gets his head chopped off.
Yeah, that thing was moving so fast. But
yeah, that was wild.
Yeah, the Eternals show up, of course. They beat the thing down. And
we
kind of
get a preview of like each one and their powers.
Yeah, Sprite, the little girl, she manifests a blade and hands it over to the little boy that they saved.
Yep.
And then we jump to present time where we see Cersei's character, and she's in Piccadilly Circus in London, and she sees on that billboard like tools that change the
course of history or something.
It's the knife that Sprite gave away.
Yeah.
So, we see her. She's a professor, owns a museum, and she's teaching some class. That's where we see her and Kit Harington's, what's his name, Dean?
Yeah, Dean Whitman.
Dean Whitman.
No, Dane Whitman.
Dane, that's better.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they, you know, have their little flirty thing on in front of the class, and then an earthquake hits.
Yeah.
Cersei, this thing falls off the wall. She turns it into sand and saves the kid.
Yeah, her powers are like, she can like manipulate matter, or like molecules or something.
She can just, turn matter into other matter.
Yeah.
Then we see her going out to a bar celebrating Dane's birthday. Present she gives him is a ring with his family crest on it from long ago. And then we see Sprite talking to some guy at the bar. We don't know it's her.
Yeah, she's like a shapeshifter. Shapeshifting. She can, like, project, like, images. I guess I don't know how to really explain her
powers. Well, she does, because she projects herself as... She like can make multiple projections of herself and other people.
And then she could copy, but then,
She was just able to transform into another person.
I wonder if that's, like, her in her adult form, maybe? I don't know.
But the guy touches her hand, and it phases through her hand, because that's not her true form, and she goes back to...
being a little kid. But she's, like... trapped in a kid's body, but she's 7,000 years old.
Yeah.
So you kind of get that little bit here and there. Again, the character building in this movie was not necessarily the best, but her character, there's bits and pieces of, like, that's her deal.
Yeah. So they're walking home.
Yep. But then a deviant comes out of the water and attacks them.
Yep. Sprite and Cersei are talking about...
Because Cersei and Dane are, like, in love. Like,
he's asking her to move in. She doesn't want to because she hasn't told him she's an Eternal. Yeah. So her and Sprite are talking about it, and Sprite tells her, oh, you got to let him know. And that's when the Deviant attack, or I guess through Sprite, Dane's conversations with Sprite, he's picked up something's off because he's like, well, Sprite said...
Sprite's kind of, like, let Dane know, like, kind of basically,
like,
everything
happened. You dated a guy 100 years ago that was a pilot, and then Deviant attacks. They fight back, and then we get Icarus shows up and helps them kill the thing.
Yeah, but then we learn that the Deviant can, like, self-heal itself, which is something that they said that they couldn't do in the past.
Yeah, so that's right. They don't kill it. It takes off.
Yeah.
But they saw it self-heals. So that's when Cersei explains to Dane what the deal is. She's an Eternal. And
they go to find Ajak, played by Salma Hayek, just to kind of figure out what's going on. And we also learn that, we get shown... Cersei and Icarus dated, they got married, or there's, like, some ceremony, they, like...
Yeah, they were married for... So there's... The first flashback scene was odd to me, because it was Sprite, Cersei, and Icarus, and they go, we need to find everybody, mm-hmm. And then the next scene is them fighting monsters, and I'm like, oh, how did they... They've already met up with everybody, and then after the fight's over, it says... 1500 BC or whatever, and they're in Mesopotamia, or some ancient city.
Yeah.
So we get flashbacks of that they're in this thriving city. They said Ajax is able to talk to the lead celestial and
Arsham. Yeah.
And then
Arsham the judge is what I just looked up,
and tells him, hey, we're doing well. This is the most populated city in the world. And then we get...
Yeah, they were it was Babylon or something, wasn't it? Yeah.
So then we get the scene. They're in South Dakota meeting with Ajax, and we find out she's dead. And they kind of put together that,
the deviant that they fought in London was the one that killed her.
Because it took her powers.
Also, Cersei and... Icarus, where she kept on, like, where'd you go for that long? Is like, They never fucking explained where he went.
I think he left. He said it to Ajax. He left because he knew what the ultimate plan was, and he knew if he stayed with Cersei, he was going to end up.
But where did he go?
It doesn't matter.
It matters to me. I want to know if he went off-world or if he, like, lived with the humans. Like, I just didn't... They just never told us, like, where he went or what he did.
But now we start getting... They realize Ajax is dead. She has her ability to talk to the Celestial.
Yeah.
Goes from her to Cersei. And, you know, everybody's wondering why. Oh, why didn't it go to Icarus? And they explain it later. But then we get the team up. You know, everybody... Oh, we got to go...
We gotta find all the crew, so...
They go find... First, they go Kingo, right?
Is that his name?
Yeah, Kumail Nanjiani.
Yeah.
Kingo.
Yep.
So they see him. He's on a set of a Bollywood film. They tell him Ajax is dead, so he joins them. They're on his private jet, and he kind of... He explains that he's just been living as... like generations of his own family of movie stars.
That was pretty funny, where they're like, how has no one like figured out you've been playing movies for 100 years? Like, nope, that was my great grandfather, that was my grandfather, that's my father, and that's me. It's all him.
Yeah, playing. He says it's the longest just, movie legacy in history or whatever.
A Bollywood legend.
So then they go to see
Gilgamesh? Or did they go see Droog first?
They went and saw Gilgamesh.
Okay.
So they go meet up with Gilgamesh and, flashing back. So, Athena, Angelina Jolie's character, during one of their fights, her kind of eyes gloss over and she starts attacking the team and saying stuff like everybody's got to die and things like that.
Yeah.
And then one of the characters explains since they've been alive for so long, her brain or memories are starting to split and it's driving her crazy. So
yeah, because when Cersei gets that stuff from Ajax where she could communicate with Arsham, he like spits out exposition of like why he created the Deviants, because like they were hunting apex predators, but then they like kind of like broke off and started just hunting the regular population, so then he created the Eternals to fight them.
Yeah, so they evolved and he wasn't able to control them anymore, so then he creates the Eternals to fight them off
because he wants the population to become so advanced that they can then power that world to release
he's planted billions of Celestials inside planets, and once the population reaches a certain amount, then you're able to the Celestial
harness can, the energy or something of like their
yep.
technology and like just the mass number of like of the population or something like that.
Yeah, because Fastos.
Yes.
He explains when he's at Hiroshima, he helped create the bomb, but then he later explains that that's helping advance technology, improves correct. Medicine.
He said, like, war advances technology faster than anything else, or some quote like that.
Yeah, which then leads to, longer lives and a bigger population. But so, yeah, they're recruiting Gilgamesh. You said he'll protect Thena and keep her under control, and if he has to kill her, he'll kill her.
Then they go to
what was when they're sitting at the dinner table, Kingo has his valet that's like videotaping everything. Why was Thena like eyeballing him like that?
I think because he was just like a regular person, maybe. I don't know. I didn't notice that.
It was they said something about it, but they never explained why.
Yeah, I don't know.
So, yeah, then they go to Druid.
Yeah, Druid, and he's like Druid. In the Amazon.
Yep.
And he was probably my favorite Eternal, to be honest.
So they had another backstory where they're in Tenochtitlan, and there's war and fighting, and the village is being burned down, and he wants to...
Because
he can mind control.
His power is mind control.
So he wants to use his powers to stop all these battles. Ajax tells him no. And then it reaches a point where he says, I'm not... You're going to have to kill me to stop me. And then ends whatever battle's going on. But then in the present time, he's in
the Amazon.
Yeah, living in some village, controlling everybody, and he's basically their god. Mm-hmm. And see, I didn't like that scene with them because they were trying to recruit him, and he was just a total, they even said it, he was just an asshole, and I didn't get...
Yeah.
I didn't get why. Like, he didn't want these people dying off. He wanted to protect them, so why are you being a dick? Help them out. And
I think he does that. There's that scene where she's like, stop controlling them, and he, like, stops, and they put their guns down, and then, like, he tells them to get to the river. So I think it's just the amount of time.
But they recruit him. They get attacked by...
The Deviants. Yeah. Crow is the main one. Crow's the Deviant.
That evolves.
I just Googled it. That evolves. He absorbed Ajax power of healing.
So they get in a battle with a bunch of different ones.
Which I freaking love that scene. For some, I know in part one, I was like, I don't know how I feel about the CGI of these Deviants or these monsters. I thought it was kind of refreshing that it wasn't like an army battle. That you're not just fighting this army. Like, it was something
These
new.
Are actually tough to fight, and it takes everybody.
And they're, like, animals, so it's, like, it's something different, I guess. I kind of enjoyed the scene.
But, Cersei ends up getting knocked into a pool of water, and then she uses her powers and was able to turn this deviant into a tree.
Yep.
And
nobody
knew why or how she was able to do that.
And then, I kind of thought she was going to manipulate the water into, like, ice or something and, like, freeze it, but that didn't happen.
And then the main, what's his name?
Gilgamesh.
No, the main deviant.
Crow.
Crow, yeah, he's fighting Gilgamesh. Thena, even though she's a legendary best warrior in the galaxy, she's, because of these mind...
She has, like, relapses of her memory. She forgets who she is or something.
Yeah, but she's not able to fight, so Gilgamesh is...
And Gilgamesh is just strong. He has, like, these... His, like, fists are, like...
Yep.
His punches are, like, beast mode.
But he ends up eventually getting overpowered and getting his powers taken. Crow evolves again, and this time he looks a lot more humanoid and
he can
able to talk.
Yeah.
And then he explains that the Deviants are just tired of being murdered by the Eternals.
Because we learn that they're not the only 10 Eternals. There's like thousands of them.
Yeah, every planet that has a celestial and planet has Eternals. So it's like, well, at this point, we'll just team up. Just quit killing humans and let's team up. But Icarus shows up and Crow takes off, and then they burn Gilgamesh, and
then they go
Thana
find
dumps his ashes.
They go find Phastos in Chicago.
Yep, he's living with,
because he's like the technology like guy.
So he's living there with a family and a kid, and it's, I don't know, it's, so he lies to his husband and says, oh, these are my college buddies.
Yeah.
And then they get inside. Icarus and Cersei explain to him what's going on. And then his husband's like, oh, yeah, you need to go
help your friends.
Yeah. And it's like, so why would you lie then? This guy, obviously, he would have to know about.
Well, that's the thing, too. It's like, we're like at the point in this like universe where it's like, we already know like aliens exist.
Yeah.
We know that like super human people exist. We know like all of this stuff is like, these things shouldn't be like that's what's kind of tough about it now.
Yeah.
That's why Spider-Man's so cool, because he's got a hidden identity. But like in the MCU, it's like, yeah, just fucking say it. People are gonna believe you. They've seen aliens come to New York, and they've literally came back from a snap from Thanos. It's like, I did want to bring that part up with him and his husband. Apparently, there's a lot of, like, and this isn't funny, a lot of, like, homophobic people online that have been, like, review bombing this movie because of that scene. Like, apparently, Disney's not pulling the scene where they kiss each other goodbye, so, like, the movie's not allowed to play in, like, some Middle Eastern countries and stuff. It's just like, Jesus Christ, people, like, it's fine. Like, it doesn't, it, like...
Well, it goes kind of with the other between... Icarus and Cersei, their make out sex scene. I mean, they just overall they weren't necessary.
Yeah, that's like, if you're not mad at that sex scene, like you shouldn't be mad at them kissing each other goodbye and him like leaving his kid, where it actually is more emotional.
Yeah. But anyway, they go to Iraq, find their ship.
Then they find the speedster in there. I can't remember what her name is. Makari?
Something like that, yeah. She's in there reading books, and...
She is awesome. Her scenes were sick. Like, I mean, we've seen speedsters in movies before.
Well, we have, and it just shows how overpowered they are. Like,
they're just too fast. You can't stop them.
So she's in there. She's like, oh, is it time to go home? And then they explain everything. No, Earth is going to be destroyed.
Yeah, Celestia's, and we're... Well, we didn't even tell. Like, the Eternals are not, like, really living. They're, like... They robots. Were made. They're like robots, which I think is different from the comics.
We did have a flashback scene that showed Icarus visiting Ajax, and stating to her, or she changes her mind and wants to
help.
Wants to stop the
emergence.
The emergence.
She brings up the point, like, you know, 5 years ago, Thanos wiped out this planet with the snap of the finger, and then, like, the people of this Earth brought everyone back. Yep. So she, like, believes in, like, the sacrifice and, like, what, you know, the hope and stuff that the people of Earth can do. So, like, that changes her mind. Because apparently she's been doing this for millions of years, which is fucking crazy.
But Icarus takes her to Alaska, shows her some deviants that he said have emerged through melting ice caps or whatever, and then he... says, I can't let you stop this, and sacrifices her to Crow, and that's where she dies, and then he plants her body.
Also, like, I don't mind it, but just, like, a horrible reveal of, like, Icarus being, like, the villain. Like, I thought that was kind of, like, a punch in the nuts. Like, okay.
Yeah, I just... And at the same time with Ajax, like, yeah, you saw the snap and shit, but you've been doing this for millions of years. Like, this is the first civilization that's ever given you hope that you thought, they don't deserve to
die. In a millions of years.
Yeah, so.
Or, like, in a million times, you could have been like, maybe we could do both. Maybe we don't have to wipe out the population. Because so, there's a mention of, like, populating it, like, you know, transferring the people of Earth to another planet. But then they're like... Space travel, it'll take 2 years or I forget.
Decades
for them to colonize. Speed it up.
Yeah.
So it's like, you guys have never thought about that previously, but anyways, I digress.
Yeah, it just didn't make sense for Ajax to change her mind since she has the memories, so... I mean, just the overall thing, then Thanos was right.
Yeah.
He saved Earth by snapping it.
That's fair. He gave him also, I was completely wrong with... The energy of bringing everyone back is what was kind of like the catalyst of this movie. Like, that really had nothing to do with
it. No, it was just, the population got too high, which is kind of dumb, I guess. But anyway, we're on the ship. Their plan is to have Droog to put the Celestial to sleep.
By mind control,
yeah. Yeah, they take the ball out of Cersei's throat, and Fastos creates some bands for them that they all wear. And
I was going to say, like, these are the Ten Rings.
I thought that
was like,
too.
I was waiting for that.
So their plans to do that, and then as he's getting it ready, Icarus blows it up and tells him, I can't.
Because he's like, I've known about the emergence for centuries, and, like, I can't do anything to stop it. And then the rest of the Eternals find out that he killed Ajax.
So he goes to where the emergence is happening. Sprite goes with them because she's in love with
Sprite's in love with him,
but she's a child, so she can't do anything about it. She's pissed about it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, then they fight, right?
Yeah, they fight. They fight Icarus. He seemingly kills
Droog.
So then Cersei says, okay, I just got to get closer to the emergence and I'll handle it.
But then, Thena, who's all fighting Icarus? It's like Thena,
Fastos,
Makari. And she's like whooping his ass. And then, like.
She goes ham because she thought Droog died.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That was actually a really powerful scene because she's deaf in the movie and she yells, she, like, makes
screams.
The audible noise. Yeah. I was like, oh, shit. Like, that was kind of emotional.
So they fight. Crow shows up to fight.
Again, we talked about this. Crow shows up to fight because And
he's just upset about how many deviants have been killed. He's upset about it,
so he fights Icarus, and they're just like, but you made a good point. It's like, they didn't want him to absorb Icarus's power, but it's like, you guys all want the same thing here. Like, just fucking work together.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I don't know. I thought they... We'll talk about this in, like, our gripe session, but, like, fuck, they kind of fucked up that guy's character. Like, there's no reason for him to really be in the movie.
Crow?
Yeah, like, just have, like, the... Yeah. Just let the deviants just be, like, these, quote-unquote, like, mindless beasts. Like, we didn't need one that was, like, smart. Like, why the fuck did he absorb all their powers if it was for nothing? Like, we didn't get any payoff for that.
No. Phastos is able to hold Icarus down.
Which, that scene was tight.
Crow goes after Thena, starts stealing her powers, and then all of a sudden she pulls this move and cuts him into 100
See, I thought
pieces.
We were going to get some reveal there, too, to yeah, make this Crow character, like, don't you remember me? Like, yeah. I was on this world with you before, or some stupid shit that nope. would have made more sense. But
nope, they just kill him off, and that's it. It is sweet, though, because the emergence starts, so you see the celestial head start popping up.
Yeah, in its hand.
In its hand, which I thought was awesome to get to see part of it.
Well, and they gave you, like, that space view of, like, how big that thing is, like, perspective-wise.
So that was awesome, but... Cersei's using her powers to freeze it. Icarus is coming to kill her, but he can't.
He can't because he loves her, and he's like guilt. He feels guilty about everything.
Yeah. So she's able to stop it.
Yeah, because they use that Unimind thing. So like all of Phastos uses those rings to combine all of the powers of the Eternals into Cersei, and she like stops the.
Oh, and this
celestial.
This whole. Final scene, I guess, after, I guess, going back to after Icarus and Sprite leave, Kingo told Icarus, I'll do whatever you want, follow you to the end. So Icarus takes off and Kingo just leaves and never shows up again.
Well, there was that emotional scene where his valet, like, has that little, where he's like, it's been
an honor.
He's like, you know, thank you, or like, it's been an honor. So I was like, damn, that was a good scene.
But anyway, she freezes the celestial. I guess it can't. Well, now that it's frozen, it can't unfreeze.
I thought she was going to turn it, like it was going to freeze, and then it was going to be like butterflies or something.
Now there's just this huge half...
There's like...
A half protruding celestial that reaches out into the upper atmosphere that's just there now. Icarus, tells... What he tells Cersei he loves her, and then
literally
your favorite part flies into the sun.
Like we all know, Icarus got too greedy and flew too close to the sun, and he
melted his wings.
But in this movie, Icarus literally, do you think he kills himself, or he just like we're just made to believe that because he flies directly into the sun, but like we don't see him like disintegrate or nothing. It just kind of cuts.
I don't know. I'm sure he'll come back. So.
Also, like a horrible like. There's no reason for him to, like, want the emergence to happen. You get your memory erased every time. Don't you want to remember your time with Cersei?
Yeah.
Like, they could have fucking built his, like, reveal of being the quote-unquote antagonist or the villain.
Why he wanted this.
Why he wanted it. Maybe, like, he didn't want to remember him and Cersei, like, together because, like, they had a horrible breakup or, like, something like she... left him for Dane, you know, like something like that where he's like, I won't want to keep moving on, but like there's no reason. Like I can't remember like what his dumbass reason was.
It was just to keep the Celestials alive because that's their mission.
Yeah, but I didn't like that.
Anyway, at the end scene after the mind thing, Cersei tells Sprite, hey, I can turn you human because that's why Sprite went with Icarus because... She said
she wants to live on another... She wants another start on another world because she doesn't want to be a kid.
Yep. So she... Cersei says she'll turn her human, which she does. I guess that's... When you combine everybody's powers, that's something you're able to do now.
Yep.
So I guess Cersei and... Or Sprite and Kingo end up leaving together, so they're... I guess he's going to be her father figure.
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
I don't know why Cersei can't do it. She's been living with her for however long, but... Her and Dane meet up. He tells her, oh, there's something I got to tell you.
Which I kind of was like, if you like know who he is, like, that was cool. Like, no more secrets. And she's like, I've told you everything. I swear. He's like, not about you.
Yeah.
About me and my family.
But then we get, they kind of get blown back by a shockwave, and we see a giant celestial head in the sky.
Yeah, and it's Arsham's big ass head, and then he teleports
Cersei, Kingo, and
Fastos, right?
I think so. Why not?
I think all. Well, I don't know if it's Sprite because she's human now.
Well, Thaena wasn't there, and she's not dead.
No, because Thaena, Droog, and
that's right.
They left on the ship to go to another Eternals planet to tell them what's going
right.
on.
That's right. So
he like transports them out into space. Which I'll talk about this later, but we could definitely have a Galactus villain movie because, like, that shit looked awesome.
And he tells them, you chose to spare this planet for the life of a celestial.
And he said, I'll let this pass if your memories, show that it's, like, the planet's worthy to live or something.
Yep, so he says, I'll be back
for justice.
Back for judgment at some later time. So then, yeah, we don't see what happens to them because they don't get transported back to where they were at. And that's, what do we see? We see Dane and then goes to credits, right?
Yeah.
So then we get first post-credit scene. It's
mid-credit scene.
It's Thaena,
Makari, and Droog
on the ship going to seek out other Eternals. And as they're on their way, Makari says, like, oh, we need to go back or something like that.
Because he's like, do you feel that? And he's like, we got to go back and warn the others or some shit like that. I can't remember.
But anyway, we get, something starts teleporting into the ship. And then we get Patton Oswalt as this
Pip.
Leprechaun Pip.
Also, the horrible CGI.
That was so bad.
Horrible CGI. Like, they must have just ran out of budget and, like,
for how good the rest of the movie was, I could not believe.
Horrible.
Something like straight out of Shrek 2. Like,
1,000%.
It was terrible. But then he introduces the brother of Thanos.
He's an Eternal. Eros is what I just looked up. Eros? Well, Eros? Star Fox.
He calls him Star Fox, but yeah, then he introduces himself as Eros. And
he's Thanos' brother. And he's like, I know where your friends went, because apparently Cersei, Fastos, and Kingo all, like, got displaced somewhere.
Oh.
He's like, I know where they're at. So, like,
I thought he was talking about the, like, other Eternals on other planets. Like, well, they're back on Earth.
Yeah.
But that makes sense that they got displaced.
Yeah.
And, yeah, he says, I know where your friends are. They're in trouble. So, I guess Harry Styles is...
How do you feel
now.
About that? I loved Harry Styles in Dunkirk.
I think he's fine. I just was surprised. It's just so... How is he the brother of Thanos? You know, it's just... Well, I guess if Thanos is a deviant,
exactly.
He's an Eternal.
Yeah.
So, okay.
That's exactly what it is. He's an Eternal / deviant,
okay.
Thanos is. And then Star Fox is an Eternal.
So then we get a second post-credit scene.
He had Dane Whitman opening an old chest. It has his family seal on it.
Yep.
And it's the ebony blade.
Ebony blade. And what is it? It's inscribed death, something.
Death of duty or something? Or
I don't remember what it was. Death something. But, he opens it up. The sword, like, speaks back to him. And then we hear a voice in the background that says, are you sure you're ready for this?
And you had to look it up because it doesn't show it. It cuts to black and
yeah,
it's
Mahershala
Ali's blade,
yep.
Which
so,
is fucking crazy.
I guess Black Knight's going to be part of Blade.
It's fucking crazy.
Yeah. I mean, that was a cool scene. So, cool setup, even though nobody's going to know who it is without...
Which I kept waiting and, like, personally wanting Kit Harington or like Dane to come and like join the fight, but like
yeah.
I think that would have done a disservice to his character and for like the audience who didn't know who
yeah.
he is. Favorite character of the movie.
I like Sprite a lot.
Yeah. I think she had the best character, like, kind of arc, if you could give her that. Yeah. Like, you understood her reasoning. Also, like, she stabs Cersei, but then at the end, they're just, like, friends again.
Yeah. But...
What'd you have for any gripes?
I'm not really sure. I guess I just didn't like... Once the whole master plan was revealed, then I was just like, well, there's no point... Again, and everybody wants to save the Earth, and it's like, well, why team up with this deviant, powerful deviant now, and have him help you? Because you guys want the same thing. You want to live peacefully and have Earth not be destroyed.
I hated that. Like, I hated some of the pacing of the movie. A lot of the scenes were shot really well. The only thing that sucks is we just recently seen Dune, so, like, it doesn't really compare to, like, those shots from that movie, but well done. I also didn't like the Deviant Crow. Like, it would have been cool, like, if he absorbed a couple more Eternals that, like, we find the reveal that he used to be an Eternal, and, like, he got stripped of, like, that by... Ashim or whatever, the Celestial. He's just like, no, like, I was this, and, like, this is what happened to me. Like, you would like give a little bit more reasoning, but again, like I said earlier, like, there was no reason to have, like, this Fantastic Four 2 Rise of the Silver Surfer deviant that just, like, can absorb these powers.
Well, and that also took away for me too, because there's so many characters. Like, I didn't feel anything for anybody's death.
No, not at all.
I was just, okay, that happened, and yeah, I just wasn't emotionally invested in any of these characters to really,
like,
care,
honestly,
when
they could have, like, this sounds super shitty to say, I don't know what this says about me as a person, but, like, any of them could have, like, sacrificed themselves for whatever, like, wouldn't have felt a thing.
No.
Like, I had more emotion in that scene where the chauffeur...
Yeah.
He was saying goodbye and, like, you know, thanking them for, like, trying to save humanity. I was like, because that comes from our perspective as humans. So, I think the movie was fine. I have some gripes, like I said earlier. It just, like, didn't satisfy me the way, like, it was good.
Well,
it wasn't bad.
I also just don't know if I like the whole overall story that these Eternals are in place because Celestials are implanted on planets and their job is to have the population evolve so the Celestial can be born and then create more galaxies and more planets, because if they don't, then I guess the universe just ends.
Yeah, they could have done that a little bit more creatively with, like, how we're being introduced to the multiverse or something, you know? But yeah, there's just too many. So it's just like, every single planet has a Celestial, like, egg inside of it that now we need to stop. It gets a little complex. I'm curious to see if they're going to do a sequel to this or how it sets up, because they said the Eternals will return.
Yeah.
Again, it makes the Avengers movies easier if you have these super power people be off-world somehow.
Yeah, I guess that's what I would prefer is them...
And you said that earlier. It's like, do you think this is going to be on Earth or other planets?
Well, where do you go with this now? Now it's just them warning other Eternals that this is what their purpose is. Like,
I'd have to look at the comics to see, like, if there's, like, because they already fucked up the Deviants and how they look. Because, like, that would have been cool to see, like, Deviants be, like, they look kind of humanoidish and, like, they all have, like, certain powers. Because that would have been kind of cool, too, if, like, Crow, like, I know we've seen this, you know, a few times in movies, but Crow absorbs, like, Icarus's powers and some of the others. Then they got to find a creative way to, like, how to stop him, you know, or, you know, some shit like that.
The scene I really liked at the end with Arsham speaking to him, telling him he'll be back, and then he just dips out.
Yeah.
And, like, it forms a black hole. I thought that was pretty sweet visually. It looked great.
Yeah, I liked, we talked about, like, how the scale of how they look compared to the humans. I think, like, a Galactus movie could be fucking epic.
Yeah, for sure.
Because, I mean, yeah, like, God, they fucked it up with that mid-credit scene, but, like, yeah, the CG was great.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal with that was.
What would you give it?
I'd probably give it, like, a 65, 70.
I think I'd be a little bit better. I'd probably give it a 75.
I think.
Because I thought if you just put the story on paper, I'm like, okay, this is a fine story. But just like you were saying earlier, there just wasn't enough investment of like, yeah. Oh, like I understand why Icarus is turning bad. Like I feel for him, or like I get like this deviant crow is like the leader and why he feels bad. And like, I understand, but it's like, we didn't get those two things are like what makes me like unsatisfied.
And now what are they going to do with this celestial that's coming out of Earth? Is that going to pop up and be part of these future movies? Or
it's going to be like a tourist attraction in like the next Spider-Man movie or something. Yeah. Who knows?
The, Rotten Tomato score, 49%.
Holy shit. 49.
Audience score is 86 though.
That's like kind of like Venom-ish, isn't it?
It might be. So definitely that's probably the lowest one MCU movie of all time. I don't think they've ever had a
rotten. I think Thor the Dark World was like 60.
I don't think they've ever had a rotten movie from critical reviews, but again, who knows how many of those are
the review bombs.
These people just bombing.
Yeah, which is super unfortunate.
Yeah.
Would you recommend seeing this? Yeah, Venom Let There Be Carnage was 60% on Rotten Tomatoes and then 84% audience score.
I mean, I'd say with this, you could probably watch it at home. It wasn't Dune where
you need to see the visuals on the big screen. I would have to agree. I think like when it comes out on Disney Plus, I think I might enjoy it more the second time watching it too, just like my expectations of it, but
yeah.
It's fine. What do we got up next? Bond?
Hopefully Bond, but...
And then Spider-Man. I think you have a single solo episode coming out soon.
Yeah, I just got to find the time to go, so we'll see. But,
Yeah, it was fine. I wish I had more positive things to say, and vice versa. I wish I could have, like, destroyed this movie more, but it's just like...
I'm just... It's just whelmed. Not overwhelmed, not underwhelmed.
It's
just
there might be some Easter eggs that I'll look up tonight and be like, oh, like that's cool, but I just don't know enough about like this corner of the of Marvel.
And maybe, you know, this is just a hopefully a setup for something more galactic and something, you know, now that this is out of the way, characters are introduced and we know who's sticking around, maybe the sequel will be something a little bit different.
I did like their powers, just before we let go. Like, I like that they each had, like, pros and cons. Like, some, like, only Icarus could fly, only one of them could heal, only one of them had this, only one of them could run super fast, but then the rest of them are, like, liable for damage. It's like, I like that. Like, they weren't just all, like, super strong and shit like that, which I thought was well done.
But, yeah, I mean, overall, if you like Marvel movies, this one will be fine.
At this point, if you're not seeing every MCU movie that comes out, like, I don't know what you're doing. Like, this is what we basically are living for.
So if you like the MCU, you'll end up seeing it. I think most people will probably, I would say, I guess, I don't know, you know, maybe some people really love it or some really hate it. You know, I don't know if everybody's like middle of the pack like this or not, but
yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, I don't have anything more else to add. So this is Dave.
This is Anthony.
We'll catch you on the next one.
See ya.